Today we have the privilege of having John Schutz with us, and John's background stretches over 25 years within the electronics and food manufacturing industries. I've actually had the opportunity to place John back in 1998 as the operations manager, and from there he's risen to the role of regional logistics and capital budgeting manager with responsibility for four manufacturing and distribution operations and a workforce of over 1,400 people. John's not only well known for his leadership, but I think what really separates him is his passion for making a difference for people and the development of people, and that really sets him apart within the industry. And John obtained his degree from the Carleton College of Business, University of Minnesota, which is a nationally recognized financial institution. So, John, I want to welcome you. It's a real pleasure.
Well, thanks, Russ, for the invitation, and definitely to be able to contribute to Directional Motivation.
Cool. You know, John, you've got an opportunity to kind of witness and get a feel for our heart and our passion behind Directional Motivation. What drew you to this, the Directional Motivation piece?
Well, for me, Russ, it was the idea of being able to, you know, help people achieve their personal and professional goals. I think a lot of folks out there struggle with the type of steps that need to be taken as they progress through their careers. And I think the Directional Motivation has a lot of tools that are going to be able to, you know, help them navigate through that, you know, that field of moving from one career to the next or just moving up in a specific organization.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Well, you know, John, I've always found that true leaders, and, you know, just talk with you a little bit here, and I really appreciate the comments that you made about Directional Motivation, but I've always found that true leaders have a unique ability to help people achieve their individual goals while yet being able to obtain the company's goals in the process. You know, having managed, you know, as many as 1,400 employees, what approach do you use, you know, when you set out to accomplish this?
Well, for me, what I found successful is, you know, first getting to know the people. You know, I think in any work environment, there's dynamics that a leader needs to understand before they can really go in and start making a difference in the processes that are used or just relationships between employees, you know, whatever the driving factors are for that group of employees. And, you know, I think if you take the time to really, you know, get down to the brass tacks, and you can't get to know 1,400 employees, but you mm-hmm. You can get to understand or begin to understand, you know, what's driving the groups, what's driving particular sections of those employees, like if you're looking at line operators on a line or if it's supervisors, what are the factors that they're looking at that bring them into work every day besides just pay? You know, that's definitely a driving factor. I mean, we have to acknowledge, you know, pay is right towards the top when it comes to why people show up to work. But for a lot of people, it may not be the top area. And mm-hmm. we need to be able to identify that in people, you know, what's driving them, what are the things that, or the goals that they have that are going to help them, you know, achieve the success that they want in their career. And ultimately, if we can tap into that and help them achieve those goals, you know, put the processes in place that you know, knock the hurdles out of their way or provide them with the skills and tools to be successful, you know, that's where companies really draw, you know, major benefits from their employee pool. And I think that as you work through that and you develop those relationships, you know, through conversations with employees, through, you know, just finding out what makes them tick, you know, what is making a difference in their lives. Mm-hmm. If you can tap into that and truly show them that you're interested in helping them achieve their goals, they are going to bend over backwards for you, and they will help you achieve your business goals that you're after.
Tell me a little bit about maybe the demographics of the workplaces that you've managed, you know, with regards to diversity, the tenure of individuals within organizations as well. You know, has it been pretty varied at this point?
Yeah, it really depended on which facility, you know, I would talk about, Russ. You know, when I think of one of the facilities, it was a fairly young industry, and the plant was pretty new. It was probably, when I got there, the average tenure was, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. and, you know, 95% Hispanic workforce.
Oh, really?
And, okay. Yeah, and when you look at some of the other facilities, you know, it was, the average tenure probably was, you know, 10 to 12 years, and still a very strong Hispanic workforce. I'd say probably 80 plus percent, but you also had, you know, a Polish contingency in there, some African-American workers in mm-hmm. there, so a little varied with mm-hmm. the demographics.
Sure.
You know,
how do you bring a group like that together, you know, with that much diversity? How do you get them on the same page? And, you know, I guess I'll ask this from a leadership standpoint, too, you know, as far as prospective leaders, individuals raising up and wanting to go to a leadership type of role. How do you pull those types of diverse groups together?
Well, what I found that worked for me, and at least in the environments that I was in, was, first of all, you have to, again, communicate with the people. Mm-hmm. You have to let them know what you're striving for in your business. You know, so set a pretty clear vision, and then also set some goals that are achievable. Mm-hmm. You know, I think once you get that done, and, you know, and this takes time. You're not going to just walk in and have a meeting with these folks and say, okay, well, here's the vision, and, you know, we're going to start achieving it today. It's something you have to work through time, because what you're doing is you're establishing relationships with that group. You're establishing trust. They need to see that you have some of their best interests in mind, while and vice versa, they have to have the interests of the business in mind. And I think as you work through that, you establish your vision, you know, set the goals, you have to make sure that, you know, the folks have the tools and skills to be able to achieve the goals. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, what you do is, you know, you have to make sure that if there's training involved, you have to get the right kind of folks involved with the training. And for me, what I did a lot of times was I would identify people within that workforce that had a little higher skill level in specific areas. And, mm-hmm. you know, sit down, have discussions with them, and really help convince them, help show them why it's important that they help train their fellow employees. Because I think that it's really important to get people involved at all levels of the organization and make sure that you know, they have a vested interest in what we're trying to do in that business area. You know, whether it's in a warehouse, you know, when we implemented a voice recognition picking system, it was very important to me and honestly pretty difficult for my managers to step back and allow, again, with training ahead of time, that allow people from the floor to train other people and, you know, go through the system, learn the system in depth. And what we found out in following processes like that, you know, our implementation was much quicker. People, you know, grabbed on to the technology quicker. And, you know, the project was a great success. And, you know, again, we had an engaged workforce. And that's really what you're striving for. You want people to be engaged in achieving the company's goals. And hopefully along the way, you need to show them that while you're achieving the company's goals, you're also helping them achieve their personal and professional goals.
Sure.
And so those are some of the characteristics of how I would go about trying to combine those groups. And, you know, with that, you know, it's not just all, you know, the great results. There's definitely setbacks as you go along the way. And the team, and this is where I think management, you know, really needs to step in, is, you know, if there's areas where we're falling below where we need to be, we need to make sure that those are identified to the group. You know, again, you know, if they're successful, you absolutely have to celebrate. You know, whether it's, you know, it could be as simple as just bringing specific people in front of the group and acknowledging their extra efforts. It could be whole teams. It could be having pizza parties. I mean, there's all sorts of things that allow you to celebrate what the people have done. And I think that that's where, you know, a lot of leaders, supervisors, managers, team leaders, whoever it is, we fall short on that because we forget that even small achievements are successes and they need to be celebrated. And the workforce likes that kind of stuff. They like being acknowledged. I mean, I like being acknowledged, you like being acknowledged, and so do, you know, all the folks, you know, on the floor.
Sure. I remember that I visited one of your operations years back, and you had the town hall meeting where you had the majority of your plant was in the meeting just in recognition, and it was really quite impressive to see. It really was, and the people responded. You could see it on their faces, how engaged they were and excited for everyone else within the operation. It was pretty cool to see.
I think one of the keys with that is you have to have consensus among your manager level department heads to follow this a similar process, because you have to send, you know, the same signal throughout your whole organization. You know, in my case, it was a facility. And so it was really important for me to make sure that the managers were aligned in how I felt it would be best to, you know, establish new processes, whether if it was process improvement type activities that we were going through. Again, getting everybody involved, you know, stepping back a little bit and letting those folks that have some real expertise on the floor, you know, be entrepreneurs and help them along the way to make them the necessary changes to drive the business. And I think that was just a great feature of, you know, definitely the first plant I was in was that from the quality group, you know, it through safety, through, you know, even in the accounting area, we would bring people in and if they had an interest, you know, teach them about the financials, teach them what drove the business, teach them why we would, you know, be so concerned with yields or, you know, labor or the throughput of the lines and sort of do trainings in regards to how that all, you know, came together and how we were measured, because it's important for folks on the floor to know the goals, know the measurements, and then definitely at the end, know the results. And if they're positive, you know, you need to have the, you know, the success parties and you need to celebrate. And, you know, that's really important to teams.
You know, John, many of our listeners may be in hourly roles right now and or in positions maybe of lesser authority, and they want to better themselves. Are there some recommendations that you might be able to offer to help our listeners reach those goals?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things. Again, as a manager, as a supervisor, you're always watching how people interact with other people. You're watching the kind of initiative they take in problem solving. You're watching essentially the leadership values that they have. And the you know, some of the areas that I feel are really important in regards to moving up out of the, you know, a floor level position into a management role is first of all, try to figure out what you want. I think it's really important. It's a nice concept to say, you know, I want to be a supervisor. But is that really what you want? Do you want to be a supervisor in inventory control? Do you want to be a supervisor in the warehouse? Do you want to be a supervisor in manufacturing, on the manufacturing floor? You know, what is it that really intrigues you? Or what is it that really is going to drive you to come into work and say, you know what, I'm going to make a difference today? So I think that's one of the first things you need to know is understand what your personal goal is. I think another thing that you need to make sure is as you establish that goal or that track for yourself, what are you willing to do from a skill set improvement to enhance that? So is it, you know, taking some secondary education classes? And you know, I'm not necessarily talking about college. You know, again, working with your supervisor to maybe take seminars or you know, there's a ton of stuff online right now, you know, and at least in my with my teams, you know, I was very open to allowing people off the floor, you know, so long as they had the interest and the drive, you know, to sit and take a half hour, hour long seminar, or if there was something pertinent to the position that they wanted, there may be an outside seminar that we would send them to. Mm-hmm. You know, getting them involved in, you know, I'll use a line installation, for instance. You know, when we would have the checkouts for the lines, and we actually, I'll even move before that, when we would be establishing how we wanted the line laid out. If there was somebody that was really interested in the safety aspects of that, they absolutely would be involved in the engineering piece of, okay, where are the you know, the emergency stops going to be? You know, where is, you know, which areas are we going to have to lock and tag? Which areas are going to have to be caged, you know, so nobody can get in there? And you get people involved in aspects of the business like that, and all of a sudden they feel like they're contributing, and they are. They're contributing greatly to the end product. And you know, in situations like that, you really get two benefits from that. You get a benefit of not only the person that's directly involved, but then there's a lot of people that are sitting back and watching because, you know, I think they're almost waiting to be able to say, see, I told you. I told you, management isn't going to support that. But, you know, as they see that you continue those efforts and see that you continue to support those folks that have, you know, taken a step forward and said, you know, I want to add more value to this business, you get more involvement and more buy-in. And that's another thing that really solidifies your quest mm-hmm. towards your vision and achieving the, you know, the goals of the company.
You know, and it's probably characterized in today's terminology a lot of times by the term ownership, you know, taking ownership for whatever position that they're in, whatever responsibility they have, whatever part of that manufacturing component, and they take ownership of that as their very own and handle it that way. And I think what I find in listening to managers and at different levels is they look for those people that have that ownership piece. Would that be correct in what you're saying?
I would absolutely agree with you. I think that, you know, as you drive ownership in the business, in their piece of the business, and it could be someone who's measuring ingredients or, you know, a line operator operating a case packing machine or a vertical bagger, you know, whatever it might be, you know, you can tell right away those people that take a vested interest in, because it transfers all the way across their job responsibilities and a lot mm-hmm. of times even further. I mean, they will be more concerned with the quality of product that's reaching the end of the line. They will be more concerned with keeping their work area clean so it's safe for other employees. It's just, you know, ownership is the key, I think, to driving the business. You know, if you can get the employees to take complete ownership, you know what? They'll do a good job for you. They want to succeed. They want to do well in the organization. I think sure. I think one of the other keys with helping to achieve that is you have to make sure that your supervisors, your managers, senior managers are all involved in the process. And what I mean by that is they have to take an interest in these employees. They have to send a really strong signal that when people are doing things right and people are engaged and people are taking the extra effort to drive the business, that they're there to congratulate them, to mm-hmm. mentor them if need be, to, you know, to make sure they're getting the training to further that involvement. And it really is a pretty easy step. It just takes effort.
Yep. You know, it's kind of brought to mind a biblical statement. You know, to whom whom is faithful in little, much is given. And really, in a plant environment, that's probably true. You know, doing that and taking care and making that that small component or that small piece that may seem insignificant is a real indicator of what you're going to do when you have something large given to you. And unless that small part's handled very well, you're probably not going to get the large part.
That's true. That's true.
Sure.
Just jumping back to one other thing I think that is really important is making sure that the employees understand that there are pieces that there are things that the company can do and, you know, to help further the education. And if things cost money, you know, most companies now will help with that. So long as you're going to take a class that is going to be beneficial to a position that you're in or it's business related, there's financial there's dollars out there to help pay for that.
Sure.
And that's part of management, supervisors, managers, whoever, to talk to the employees and make sure that they're aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. We're going to break here and go to a segment for our Maximum Motivation member site, and we'll continue this. We're going to cover subjects, how to go from the hourly to the salaried. We're going to talk a little bit more on that and probably some of the emotions that go involved with that, some of the hurdles that you might face in doing that, and give you some good advice on how to overcome that. And so on the Maximum Motivation site, we're going to cover that in more detail, plus a number of other things in terms of transitioning and helping in that transition. Talk about education, some of the value of education, what are some things that you can really focus on to help you in making that transition to the next step. So, John, we'll come back to you here in a minute, and really appreciate your comments to this point.
Sounds great. Thank you, Russ.